Chapter 3. Soldier Load. The ability of soldiers to march and fight is directly influenced by their combat loads. Soldier load should be limited to mission essential equipment. Excessive loads significantly reduce the soldier's ability to accomplish the mission. Identifying the optimum combat load for the soldier is crucial to maintaining combat power and ensuring efficient mission accomplishment. Commanders tailor loads based on mission requirements and manage risk throughout all phases of the mission. This chapter addresses considerations specific to soldier load, the tailoring of loads, and the movement of supplies and equipment. Section 1. Soldier Load Considerations. Soldier load is an area of concern for Army commanders and subordinate leaders. How much is carried, how far, and in what configuration are critical mission considerations. Commanders and leaders balance the risk to their soldiers from the enemy against the risk to mission accomplishment from excessive loads and soldier exhaustion and injury. Soldier load is limited to mission essential equipment to sustain continuous operations. Commanders and leaders accept risks to reduce soldier load based on a thorough mission analysis. Leadership responsibility. Soldier load is a leadership responsibility regardless of the operational environment, OE. The fighting capability of a soldier relates directly to the load the soldier carries. A maximum individual load limit is established and not exceeded if a soldier is to accomplish an assigned combat mission. Commanders and subordinate leaders consider the following points during soldier load planning. A soldier's load is based on the weight of the soldier, the climate, the terrain, and the stress the soldier has faced or is currently facing. Heavy loads, mountain terrain, high altitude, and extremely hot or cold weather will decrease a soldier's capability to carry a load. Prior to initiating the march, the leader considers the environment, weather, mission, duration, and soldier requirements. Each mission requires an analysis of the essential items for combat operations and survival. Commanders determine the combat load through the risk management process to improve the likelihood of mission accomplishment. Items such as the amount of food and water taken, as well as the configuration of body armor, are examples of decisions that commanders should make. Understanding the operation, including the senior commander's intent and risk tolerance, and the residual risk for the mission, helps leaders make informed decisions to reduce or offset risk. While assault packs vary by role or function within the unit, leaders determine their exact contents. To assist in managing soldier load, leaders may consider using the memory aid drop, D, decide mobility level, R, reduce unnecessary gear, O, organize resupply methods, P, police the ranks, inspect. Planning purposes for a properly conditioned soldier. The fighting load should average between 60 to 80 pounds, ideally about 30% of a soldier's body weight. The approach march load should average between 80 to 100 pounds, ideally about 45% of a soldier's body weight, including all clothing and equipment, either worn or carried. The emergency approach march load should average between 100 to 125 pounds. Overloading soldiers can expose them to extreme risk. Unit standard operating procedures, SOPs, should limit what soldiers carry on combat operations and enforce those limits. No amount of training can change the body's reaction to carrying excessive loads. The leader's involvement in analyzing the situation and the level of risk involved is the key to determining what is mission essential. Mountainous terrain is usually rocky, making it very easy to twist an ankle or otherwise have a minor to moderate lower body injury with heavy loads. Injuries tend to increase in the winter due to the water, snow, and ice. Vehicles will not always be available to carry ammunition, food, and equipment, but should still be considered for use whenever practical. Even in the most benevolent terrain, fatigue can become an issue. With rough terrain and bad weather, the effects of fatigue multiply exponentially. Without proper rest, fatigue can greatly reduce the effectiveness of an otherwise highly trained unit. While season, climate, and weather conditions impact on items carried, soldiers should be equipped for sudden weather changes. Leaders plan contingencies for additional resupply. See ATP 3-21.10 and ADP 3-21.20 for more information on contingency resupply at the company and battalion level, respectively. When required, this can include a means for purifying spring or stream water. Inexperienced or new soldiers may attempt to pack and carry more equipment than needed, increasing the physical strain on their body and exhausting them more quickly. This not only affects individual performance, but unit performance as well. Echeloning loads. Maximum effort should be placed on echeloning loads. Commanders should resist the mindset to carry everything to be prepared for every eventuality. Leaders at all levels enforce load discipline to ensure that soldiers do not voluntarily carry excess weight. Commanders and subordinate leaders plan for the delivery of non-essential equipment forward for subsequent operations. Units can separate loads of supplies and equipment into three echelons: combat load, sustainment load, and contingency load. Combat load. Combat load is the minimum mission essential equipment required for a soldier to operate, fight if required, and survive during the immediate operation. Supplies and equipment not carried in a combat load are secured and transported in sustainment loads and contingency loads. Soldiers carry loads in one of three type combat loads, depending on the situation. The three types of combat loads are fighting load, approach march load, and emergency approach march load. Fighting load. The fighting load is the essential items a soldier needs to maneuver on, close with, and destroy enemy forces in direct fire contact. Fighting load is the sum of everything worn or carried by the soldier. For missions requiring mobility, speed, and/or stealth, carrying heavy loads is a disadvantage. Cross-loading machine gun ammunition, mortar rounds, shoulder-fired munitions, water, and radio operators' equipment across the march unit is essential to balance out the loads carried within the unit. For example, selected infantry rifle platoon members may carry a mortar round, usually addressed in the unit SOPs, to drop at the mortar firing position once the march unit reaches its area of operations, AO, to reduce loads within the mortar section. Note: when the improved outer tactical vest is substituted for the soldier plate carrier system, a medium-size improved outer tactical vest complete with all components, soft armor panel inserts, four ballistic plate inserts, front and back plates and two side plates, collar and groin protectors, weighs 30 pounds, with a large-size improved outer tactical vest weighing about 35 pounds. Approach march load. An approach march load includes the fighting load plus additional essential equipment. The approach march load may include an assault pack or rucksack and all the other items not needed in the fighting load but now required. Approach march loads, for when direct contact with the enemy is intended, are dropped in an assault position, in an objective rally point, or when receiving effective enemy fires prior to an assault. The key word is effective enemy fires, not contact. Dropping carried loads will always delay the operation during recovery of dropped gear/equipment. Execution of this technique must be planned for and rehearsed, and may require transportation assets, when available, to retrieve equipment later in the operation. An approach march load allows soldiers to fight and sustain themselves until resupplied, though approach march loads should not exceed 100 pounds. Note: depending on the mission and environmental conditions, items carried normally in an approach march load may be carried as a fighting load. For example, wet weather gear top and or bottom, and additional water, meal, ready to eat, MRE, and ammunition. Emergency approach march load. Operations requiring an emergency approach march load should only be used when necessary to accomplish a specific mission. For example, soldiers may be required to carry heavier loads through terrain impassable by vehicles, or when ground and air transportation resources are unavailable. Excessive weights associated with these loads significantly impact the unit's ability to move to the final destination without physically exhausting soldiers. Physical exhaustion significantly limits the cognitive ability and mental focus of leaders and soldiers and inhibits their combat effectiveness. When carrying an emergency approach march load, commanders should seek to limit march distances and provide soldiers time to recover before executing follow-on activities. Sustainment load. Sustainment loads consist of equipment required to sustain operations. Sustainment loads are generally positioned within the battalion or company support area and brought forward when needed. See Section 3 of this chapter. Sustainment loads may include rucksacks, duffel bags, and sleeping bags. Depending on the situation, personal protection items can be stored in pre-configured unit sustainment loads. Coordination is made to ensure sustainment load items are available when required. Contingency load. Contingency loads include all other items not necessary for ongoing operations, such as extra clothing and personal items, or Javelin close combat missile systems in threat environments where the enemy lacks an armored capability. Contingency loads might be stored in duffel bags or palletized. Determining what goes in these loads and who is responsible for their storage and delivery are critical decisions for the commander. B bags should be palletized in unit loads, and a contingency table of organizational equipment should be centralized in battalion packs. Contingency loads are generally not flown into deployment areas as part of the initial deployment. When contingency loads arrive in theater, plans should be made at or above brigade level to store unit contingency supplies and equipment. Items then can be returned to units if required by the situation. For example, if units are deployed into an area where items of contingency load are needed, or if units are staged in assembly areas in a division or corps rear area. Instructions are issued to soldiers before deployment, listing individual and organizational equipment not part of initial deployment. Contingency equipment could remain in the continental United States, be stored at base areas in unit packs, or be reserve equipment issued by a higher headquarters when necessary. Upon arrival in theater, provisions must be made for some items of equipment to be backloaded from the company, battalion, or brigade to division control. This allows units to deploy heavy for maximum flexibility. As the situation becomes clearer, units can backload items not immediately needed to higher headquarters control as contingency loads for use at a later time. Load determination. Load determination is managed at company and platoon levels. However, standards are established at battalion level, in coordination with company leadership, during planning to ensure soldiers are properly equipped and physically ready for the conduct of operations. During this process, commanders and subordinate leaders determine the factors affecting soldier load and the capabilities and limitations of the unit. Load determination factors are addressed in the following paragraphs. Load carriage. Load carriage describes what needs to be carried and how that specific load is to be carried. Planning considerations for load carriage are vital to mission success. Commanders determine soldier load based on component weights and sustaining factors. These factors assist commanders during the planning process to determine how much should be carried, how far, how it is configured on the soldier, how it is distributed throughout the unit, and how the unit is to be sustained. Commanders balance the risk to their soldiers from the enemy, the environment, and their equipment. To assist with load planning, commanders and subordinate leaders incorporate mission analysis planning tools to address the factors of soldier load and to mitigate the load's impact on soldier performance for the duration of the mission. Mission analysis planning tools help commanders and subordinate leaders plan, prepare for, and execute successful missions. Determine, review, and organize load carriage. One mission analysis planning tool is embedded within the mission variables of mission, enemy, terrain, and weather, troops and support available, time available, civil considerations, METTC, analysis architecture during the troops and support available analysis. This planning tool provides the commander with the process to determine, review, and organize load carriage during the mission. Determine physical and cognitive load. When determining soldier load, commanders first identify the physical and physiological impact and the aggregate component weight of equipment during the execution of a soldier's task. When analyzing cognitive load, the commander evaluates the relevant, intrinsic, and extraneous information present during the execution of a soldier's task. Review: mission essential equipment and personal protective equipment posture. Understanding that ounces equal pounds and pounds impact performance, commanders ensure the equipment soldiers carry during the mission is essential and must be carried. When evaluating the required personal protective equipment posture, known as PPEP, the commander identifies the type of threat and level of personal protective equipment required. Organize load carriage platforms. Once soldier loads are determined and reviewed, commanders identify the most efficient way to carry the load required for the mission. The type of platform is METTC dependent. Type of platform may be individual, vehicle, manned, aircraft dropped, autonomous, air, and autonomous, ground. Commanders analyze carriage platforms utilizing the factors of responsiveness, accuracy, and method, and asking the following questions of each. Responsiveness. How quickly can the asset deliver supplies? If it is a platform that is not habitually aligned to the unit, how does that affect delivery? If immediate resupply, also known as emergency or urgent resupply, is required, is it available during the mission? Accuracy. How accurate is the delivery required to be? Is the margin of error high or moderate for the delivery platform? Method. Will the delivery platform require the unit to deviate from the planned route? Will the delivery platform compromise the unit's position or lose it the element of surprise? Personal protective equipment posture. A second mission analysis planning tool is PPEP. Similar to the protection requirements reflected in the mission-oriented protective posture level, PPEP provides a threat-based framework for commanders and subordinate leaders to reference regarding the level of body armor and personal protective equipment soldiers need to wear while conducting an operation. The PPEP levels range from PPEP 0 to PPEP 3 and act as a common language to standardize protection levels and suggested protection level based on the possible threats on the battlefield. The ability to designate a desired level of a soldier's personal protection relies heavily on the fielding of modular and scalable body armor, which allows leaders to assess the level of enemy threat and designate an appropriate protection level. PPEP provides a common language for all soldiers to quickly understand the required body armor protection level and configure their equipment appropriately. As directed by the commander, soldiers should use helmets, side plates, ballistic eye, extremity, neck, and hearing protection at PPEP levels 0 to 3. Because what the soldier wears and carries has the most impact on battlefield performance, it is important for leaders to take time to review and question the necessity of those items. As stated earlier, when considering how much to carry, commanders and subordinate leaders should remember ounces equal pounds and pounds impact performance. Load configurations. As addressed earlier, loads are configured in three echelons: combat load, one of three configurations, fighting load, approach march, or emergency approach march, sustainment load, and contingency load. When configuring combat loads, commanders consider what ammunition, supplies, and equipment are mission essential. Effective load configuration requires the battalion commander, staff, and subordinate commander or commanders to manage risk in a logical and controlled manner based on a detailed mission analysis. Commanders tailor the combat load, see Section 2 of this chapter, to be carried with the march unit based on this analysis, and arranges for sustainment and contingency loads to be transported at a later time. The commander's situational understanding, personal experience, and knowledge of the capabilities and limitations at each echelon of the march unit enable the determination of load configuration. The commander adapts to circumstances and situations encountered, makes decisions for when to drop equipment, and cross-loads equipment to ensure success during the march. The commander maintains enough firepower and protection to defeat the enemy, when required, without burdening the unit with excessive loads. Load impact. The load a soldier carries is a major concern to the commander and subordinate leaders planning a dismounted march. How much is carried, how far, and under what configuration are important mission considerations, requiring command emphasis at multiple echelons, specifically battalion and company. A soldier's ability to fight is directly related to the loads the soldier carries. Commanders attempt to minimize soldier load to improve stealth, speed, and survivability. Excessive loads reduce energy and agility. Soldiers carrying excessive loads are at a disadvantage when reacting to enemy contact and during the conduct of follow-on actions at the conclusion of the march. Conversely, if the load is reduced, leaders may make decisions to leave behind mission-essential or crucial equipment. Sometimes soldiers must carry more than the recommended weights for a combat load. However, leaders must realize how this impacts the unit's overall combat power and ability to accomplish the mission. Weight categories. Personal protective equipment, specifically soldier body armor, constitutes the largest weight category of soldier load. Body armor limits the soldier's ability to maintain body core temperature and, to varying degrees, regulates breathing due to constriction of the torso. Depending on the mission variables of MET-TC, commanders may discuss adjusting the level of body armor protection, balancing an increased risk to individual soldiers, to improve the likelihood of mission accomplishment. Ammunition, supplies, and equipment carried by the soldier are tailored to the requirements of the mission. For example, if the enemy threat does not include armor formations, a soldier's combat load may not include the javelin. In certain circumstances, it may be appropriate for units to carry additional ammunition due to sustainment constraints. In other circumstances, based on the enemy threat and historical analysis, it may be necessary to carry mine detectors but not electromagnetic countermeasure equipment. Planning and preparation processes include detailed load planning and calculation to assist commanders and subordinate leaders in organizing tactical loads to manage energy expenditure and combat effectiveness. Note: when exact equipment weights are required, refer to the appropriate technical manual for the item's weight. Energy expenditures. The average sustainable dismounted rate of march in daylight on roads or improved surfaces is 4 kilometers per hour and 2.4 kilometers per hour cross-country with a load of 40 pounds or less. Given a load of 100 pounds, the rate of march cross-country is 2.4 kilometers per hour in easy terrain. This rate of march is generally consistent with a sustainable rate of march expending 300 kilocalories per hour and should provide an available energy reserve in event of enemy contact. Commander and subordinate leaders plan an appropriate rate of march or pace to provide flexibility for their units if enemy contact or subsequent tasks are assigned during the mission. When carrying loads during approach marches, soldiers' speed can cause rates of energy expenditure of more than 300 calories per hour and can erode reserves of energy needed upon enemy contact. March speeds must be reduced when loads are heavier to stay within reasonable energy expenditure rates. Carrying awkward loads and heavy handheld items causes increased degradation to march speed and agility. For every 10 pounds carried over 40 pounds, the average distance marched by soldiers decreases by approximately 2 kilometers every 6 hours. Loads can be carried in places other than the torso, but they often result in higher energy expenditures. Refer to Appendix C for additional information. When the march unit conducts a forced march, the commander increases the number of kilometers traveled per day to sustain unit effectiveness without significant recovery. If necessary, the commander may increase the rate of march, but must mitigate the energy expenditure by varying rates of march, periodic halts to readjust loads, hydration, and calorie replenishment, primarily carbohydrates consisting of simple sugars. Leaders must continually assess the condition of their unit to determine the frequency and duration of halts if they are not directed. If conducting a march at rates beyond the exhaustion line, leaders must assess when a unit's energy expenditure culminates and provide the unit time to recover. A march unit in ideal circumstances requires about 24 hours recovery after movements under load that exhaust soldiers, defined as any movement rate or load beyond the exhaustion line to prevent injury and replenish calories. If a unit is unable to provide ideal recovery time, leaders should focus on replenishment of calories and maximizing available rest. Unit effectiveness continues to degrade based on energy expenditure and lack of adequate recovery time. Note: battlefield stress decreases soldiers' abilities to carry their loads. Fear burns up glycogen in muscles required to perform physical tasks. This wartime factor is often overlooked in peacetime, and leaders must consider it when establishing loads for soldiers. However, applying strong leadership to produce well-trained, highly motivated soldiers can lessen some effects of stress. Impacts of the physical load on mission performance. A critical aspect of achieving overmatch is the soldier's ability to physically perform at optimum levels upon making enemy contact. The physical load the soldier carries decreases the ability to maneuver and perform under combat conditions. Leaders must understand that physical load can negatively affect performance to a point where mission accomplishment may be at risk. Energy cost increases with increase in body mass, load mass, and grade. During heavier movements, soldiers should increase intake to accommodate the caloric needs of the activity. It is important to know exactly how different terrain will affect soldiers' mission performance and allow the leaders to plan for future engagements once the foot march has been conducted. Note: VO2 max is the maximum rate of oxygen consumption measured during incremental exercise, that is, exercise of increasing intensity. The name is derived from three abbreviations: V for volume, O2 for oxygen, and max for maximum. Optimization of soldier load. Excessive weights on the backs of fit soldiers, coupled with harsh environments, reduces soldiers' performance. despite the commander and subordinate leaders going to great lengths to minimize soldier loads while still ensuring they can accomplish their assigned tasks, a soldier's combat load will generally exceed the upper limits of what the soldier should carry in proportion to body weight. The total loads presented in Chapter 3 of the print version of this publication, the combination of fighting load and approach march load, should be adhered to as closely as possible for mission accomplishment and minimal energy expenditure. Average fighting load, 60 to 80 pounds, about 30% body weight is ideal. Average total approach march load, 80 to 100 pounds, about 45% body weight is ideal. Average total emergency approach march load, 100 to 125 pounds. Major components of soldier loads are body armor, weapons, ammunition, and water. Unlike an assault pack or rucksack, which can be dropped off in assault positions or upon contact during some tactical operations, body armor to some level of protection is generally always worn. Weight and bulk of body armor wears down the soldier, exhausting, abrading, and overheating them. Commanders and subordinate leaders still attempt to reduce the weight of combat loads borne by soldiers by cross-leveling loads within march units. Using alternate means of transporting non-essential equipment and offloading equipment not immediately needed reduces combat loads. Section 2. Load Tailoring. The purpose of load tailoring is twofold. First, it lets the commander and staffs use their understanding of the current situation to determine what supplies and equipment are essential to the mission. Second, it accounts for potential impact on soldier loads, emphasizing the need to carry what is necessary. The commander and staffs consider the following areas in load tailoring for subordinates to maintain combat power and to ensure accomplishment of the mission. Commander's Guidance. When confronted with unacceptable loads soldiers must carry, commanders may establish firm guidance on the weight of loads carried by soldiers. However, when realistically applying such guidelines, soldier loads may not be optimized for the mission. Load tailoring normally falls directly to the commander, who decides what is transported or stored in sustainment loads or packages based on the mission. The commander's guidance sets the conditions for the staff's mission analysis in determining what is transported or stored to support the march. Estimate of situation. During planning, commander and staff's estimates are continually updated. Updated estimates are based on a complete analysis and understanding of the unit's mission at the end of the march, enemy situation, terrain being marched on or through, expected weather, and the physical condition of the unit's personnel conducting the march. Through understanding, the commander decides what items to include in the soldier combat load and what items to leave with the sustainment load, either uploaded on vehicles or packaged in the unit trains. Decisions to reduce or offset risk. Risk management is the Army's process for helping organizations and individuals make informed decisions to reduce or offset risk. Using this process increases the March Force's operational effectiveness and the probability of mission accomplishment. This systematic approach identifies hazards, assesses them, and manages associated risks. Risk management outlines a disciplined approach to express a risk level in terms readily understood at all echelons. For example, the commander may adjust the level of body armor protection, balancing an increased risk level to individual soldiers to improve the likelihood of mission accomplishment. See ATP 5-19 for a detailed discussion on the analysis of risk. Calculating load requirements. Calculating loads includes three components: common essential items carried regardless of threat, environment, or mission, duty position load, consisting of assigned weapons or components of the weapon systems plus ammunition, and variables, consisting of all other items carried or transported, based on the commander's understanding of the situation. When calculating load requirements, modify combat loads into fighting, approach march, or emergency approach march loads when applicable. Modify assault pack and/or rucksack loads per the mission and/or following unit SOPs. Organize non-essential equipment into the sustainment and contingency loads, if possible. Determine how to best move non-essential supplies and equipment later in the operation, once combat loads are established, dictated by commander and staff's recommendations. Unit load, packing list. Unit should develop packing lists in their unit SOPs to include specific deployment options, based on guidance from the chain of command. Once deployed, commanders may send items back to support areas for inclusion in contingency loads. the compositions of combat and sustainment loads are driven by the mission and commander's intent. Section 3. Movement of supplies and equipment. The movement of supplies and equipment by dismounted units requires careful planning and execution. For example, the Infantry Battalion Forward Support Company has limited organic transportation for the movement of supplies and equipment, often resulting in trade-offs. The battalion commander must ensure assets are being employed correctly to accomplish the mission. Time is critical, and the battalion must reduce on station time so all movement requirements can be met. The commander must be creative in maximizing usage of available transportation assets to lighten soldier loads. Resupply operations. During dismounted marches, resupply operations often involve Class 1, water specifically, and possibly Class 5, ammunition, when reinitiating the march after contact. Resupply operations under these conditions may require immediate resupply, also known as emergency or urgent resupply. Routine resupply through logistics package operations are planned to occur on a regular basis per the movement order or operation order, OPORD, and, when possible, scheduled during limited visibility. Without hampering safety and hydration of dismounted soldiers, means or methods must be developed to permit offloading of water from soldiers' backs. Soldiers should never have to carry more than one 100-ounce hydration bag. Water resupply packages may be staged for resupply to units by ground or aerial delivery. Propositioning of supplies or cache sites along the route must be carefully planned and executed at every level. All leaders must know the exact locations of pre-positioned or cache sites, which they verify during reconnaissance. Unit leaders take measures to ensure the survivability of these sites. Measures may include digging in pre-positioned or cache supplies and selecting covered and concealed positions. The commander must also have a plan to remove or destroy these resupply sites if required. Security risk always exists when returning to a resupply site. Sites should be observed for signs of enemy presence and secured before being used. It may have been booby-trapped and may be under enemy observation. Within an acceptable level of risk established by the commander, soldier combat loads may be significantly reduced by redesigning resupply practices. Rethinking frequency of their unit's resupply operations and deciding how to maintain immediate or contingency resupply packages by ground or aerial delivery goes a long way toward reducing combat loads. Such changes to logistics practices are essential in maintaining combat power throughout the march. See ATP 3-21.20 for additional information on resupply operation. When ground delivery is unavailable or limited, march units must be prepared to receive resupply through aerial delivery and manned aircraft. An understanding of pickup zone and landing zone selection, sling loading, bundle drops, and allowable cargo loads can be critical to sustain a unit during the march. See FM 3-99 and ATP 4-48 for additional information on aerial delivery. The use of manned aircraft as a delivery platform is extremely common on today's battlefields. Rugged terrain and limited ground access points push units to use manned aircraft to carry supplies or equipment internally or externally to the unit in need. For most dismounted units, the use of manned aircraft, primarily rotary wing, must be coordinated before the mission, unless designated for an emergency resupply mission by a higher headquarters. If the aircraft is tasked to support the ground unit, the responsiveness of the aircraft can be quite rapid. However, weather conditions and higher priority missions can often divert manned aircraft to other missions. The accuracy of a manned aircraft is extremely high. A well-coordinated landing zone, either pre-planned or hasty, can allow an aircraft to deliver supplies and equipment to the exact point of need. While manned aircraft, like helicopters, can be responsive and accurate, their audio and visual signatures often draw attention and can compromise a unit's ability to limit enemy or civilian detection. Soldier load transfer. Loads transferred from the soldier to combat load handling equipment reduces the soldier's fighting load. This reorganization of the soldier's load entails resourcing combat load handling equipment and sustainment load handling equipment. Provision of combat load handling equipment at company level and sustainment load handling equipment at battalion level is the responsibility of the command having control of transportation resources for ongoing operations. At the start of any operation, soldiers should identify the types of platforms and equipment they have available to them, or begin to plan the most efficient and effective way to carry the load required for success. The type of platform a leader designates to carry the load should be based on the amount and type of supplies or equipment to be carried, its importance to the mission, and the platform's capabilities with respect to responsiveness, accuracy, and method and other aspects of METTC. Leaders tier and prioritize platforms and plan movements for their use during mission execution. Load carriage using wheeled carts. Load carriage using wheeled carts is often an option to the commander to transport loads in certain situations. Generally durable, they are able to carry or exceed their rated loads, 91 kilograms or 201 pounds to 181 kilograms or 399 pounds, and can be used effectively on flat terrain, in barrier construction, and in resupply. On the negative side, carts create problems on rugged terrain. They are noisy in brush or rocky areas, thus reducing tactical surprise, and equipment can get caught in the wheels of some carts. Combat load carts appropriate for military operations should have a low center of gravity, wide wheelbase, and large wheel size. Compared with body carriage, energy expenditure is reduced by 88% when 50 kilograms or 110-pound load is pushed in a cart on smooth surfaces. Pulled carts, rather than pushed, seem to be easier to control on uneven terrain and result in considerable energy expenditure savings. Load carriage using motor vehicles. Besides carts, removing much of the load burden from soldiers requires use of a wide variety of motor vehicles. Systems that have carried soldier equipment in rugged areas in Afghanistan have included a two-seat, six-wheeled squad vehicle that carries up to 550 kilograms or 1,213-pound load and runs on aviation turbine fuel. Units also used a four-wheel, all-terrain vehicle that carries one soldier and loads up to 204 kilograms or 450 pounds. Of course, there still may be terrain unsuitable for carts or motor vehicles of any type, where soldiers must personally bear the load. Contract, host nation, and local national support. Contract, host nation, and local nationals play an increasing role in sustaining deployed United States forces. Depending on the situation, March units may have these assets to assist in the movement of non-essential supplies and equipment. See ATP 4-10 for additional information. Contract support. Though contracting support involves many risks, units may use contractors to bridge gaps between required capabilities and available forces in their AO. Contractors may be employed, subject to METTC, throughout the AO and under virtually all conditions. Protecting contractors on the battlefield is the unit's responsibility. When contractors are expected to perform in potentially hostile areas, supported military forces must ensure protection of their operations and personnel. Units must understand contractors are subject to the same threat as soldiers and plan accordingly. Contractor personnel must not perform protection functions and cannot take an active role in hostilities, retaining the inherent right to self-defense. The Defense Logistics Agency provides bulk fuel, water, and food to contractor personnel, either through pre-positioned stocks or host nation contracts. Host nation support. Host nation support may be provided to the March force located in or transiting through host nation territory and includes civil and military assistance. Support may include assistance in almost every aspect required to sustain the march. Planners must consider host nation support meets local, not necessarily United States, standards. Host nation support can be a significant resource to the March force, provided it is available and appropriate agreements are in place. Local national support. Pack animal transport. Local national pack animal support, such as donkeys, mules, horses, llamas, and alpacas, are commonly found in mountainous areas with indigenous populations who control them. Local nationals understand these animals' abilities, limitations, and, most of all, how to control them. Local nationals understand how to load these animals and properly secure loads. Local nationals are skilled at providing proper motivation to make animals perform required tasks. Although these animals may be able to carry significant amounts of equipment, they do have limitations. Their carrying capacity decreases with higher elevations. Several planning elements to consider before deciding to use pack animals include the following. Is terrain conducive to pack animal operations? Does extreme altitude prohibit or restrict pack animal operations? Does seasonal bad weather prohibit or restrict pack animal operations? Do units have experience with these animals in day and night conditions? Do units have enough experience to execute pack animal operations?